Hey, everybody, it's Devin.
And me.
Her name is Kate.
Eh.
Welcome to Med Crimes. Every time before you say that, I feel like every time I'm having to remind people who you are.
You're right. I just feel like I'm at the point in my life where I
you feel like we should know who you are.
I feel
you're,
like you
you're
should,
like that yeah. person.
Yeah. I mean, not really. I mean, you can, sure. But also I'm feeling very lazy and I want to be introduced.
There you go.
And I feel like
that is why I'm here.
That
you
is why
you
you're
do
here.
Everything else. So that is why
not
that is
everything.
My role.
No, your role is extremely important
that is
to the
very
pod.
True.
And we would never be where we are without Devin.
Gosh, love
so,
you.
There's that.
What were you going to say now?
I was going to say
happy. No.
Happy Nurses Week.
Ooh,
belated.
Yeah, that was last week.
That week is my jam. We
yes.
love nurses. Nurses of all shapes, sizes, colors, levels of care, all the specialties. We love you.
And if you're listening this week and you work in this field, happy skilled nursing week, nursing
Woo!
Home week.
Now that's yeah. my jam. Yeah,
this
buddy.
Is a big week too
yes.
around in our profession with everybody. I went into a home today for my job and it was music day. Everybody was dressed up with their favorite music genre. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of neon.
Aww.
Saw a guy with a Kiss shirt.
Yeah, buddy.
Saw some flannel.
I love that.
And I said, do you know what at first I was like, I would dress up as flannel.
Mm-hmm.
But then I said, no. Since our vacation, if I was to dress up as the favorite, I won't say favorite because, I mean, obviously, hello, you know
mm-hmm.
me. I love it.
I do.
But if I was going to say that I was going to dress up as to what I was listening to lately, my child now, since our vacation, is obsessed with Defying Gravity. We listen to Wicked soundtrack at least daily.
Oh.
So I would have to dress up as Elphaba and hope that people know
yeah.
that I am the Wicked soundtrack and that is my favorite music
genre. This is my genre. Yes. I love that. I love that for you.
Yes.
If that were me, I would have a very creepy costume because as Cece, who's listening as always, knows, my favorite right now is Sleep Token. I'm obsessed with that band. They're consuming my every thought. So, and then so if you know anything about Sleep Token, like the lore behind the band is that nobody like really knows who they are. I think some internet assholes did finally dig out the guy's real identity, but he like dresses up for all his concerts. So you can't like, he wears like this crazy mask and like this body paint and like, so,
wow.
And his,
I gotta look this dude up.
Oh my gosh. And their music is like transcendent. It's incredible. It's just so different. It's amazing. They're like a metal band technically, but they mix genres like cellos and it's always like such a surprise. Like they're like, cause
like
to
what
me,
is it today?
Music sounds all the same to me. I don't know about anybody else, but for me, I've always struggled with like the mainstream music, just like all sounding the same. But
Correct.
Then I found Sleep Token and it's always such a surprise.
Nice.
And every song is like a journey and it's like,
I love that.
So amazing. Highly recommend if you're into that type of thing. Absolutely.
We have Patreons.
We have like a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone, before
also,
we even get started.
I was going to also give a happy Mother's Day for
yes,
everybody.
Yes, we won't forget Mother's that. Day. Happy belated Mother's Day as well.
So, Patreons. Kate Ariel.
Hey.
Great name.
Love that. I
love
mean,
that. Kate Ariel.
Oh. You've probably heard that your entire life. Anyway.
Donna Jacobs. Hey,
hey
Donna Jacobs.
Yo, Donna.
Cassandra Parker.
Hi, Cassandra.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Welcome.
Okay, this next one I love. Jude with exactly that many O's.
Ooh.
Like
ooh.
48 O's. I love you.
I was
you.
Waiting for you to say June.
No, it's a Jude.
Jude. Hey, Jude.
Hey, Jude.
Hey, Jude.
Yeah, don't
I've
make
been
it bad.
Rewatching The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
In preparation for
yes.
those new episodes that are
I
now out.
I freaking love that show.
I was thinking it was June.
Jude. Then we
All
have
right.
Liz from Rogue's Isle.
Hi.
Hi, Liz from Rogue's Isle.
Wow. Hi.
Love you. Okay, you guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Creature. I know. You guys are incredible. We love you. We thank you. And I picked out a really cool creature.
What?
These, you guys are water wraiths. Again, Ooh. Inspired by my recent reading journey. And this is another book critter that I've chosen. These are a species of fairy that live in the water. And
to tell.
They are protectors of like their selves and their sisterhood and brotherhood and like everybody that lives in there. And then they protect the bodies of water that they inhabit. And they're like fierce and awesome. And they could totally kill you, but mostly won't. Like mostly.
So like there's the occasional one-off.
I mean, if there's some, if you there's like piss them off, yeah. they will yeah. eat your face.
Duh.
Just don't piss them off. I mean, but they're also like blue and shiny and iridescent. And they have like very sharp teeth. And they're actually like gorgeous. And they're fabulous.
Nice.
You guys are water wraiths.
Welcome, water wraiths.
To me, it's just like, it's giving like spring weather, summer weather. Like I want to be where it's warm.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you, Patreons. We love you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You guys are the bomb diggity. And welcome to Headlines Volume 2.
Ooh.
Oh,
sweet.
Yes. So we have some updates on some cases that we've mentioned before in our previous Headlines episode. We also have some new cases we're going to start talking about. So everything we have updates on, we will go over.
Yeah.
And with the mix in of some new stuff that we're going to start to follow. And I mean, there's just no shortage these days. There's no, so much you're hearing about.
My gosh.
It's wild what is making it into the headlines lately. So let's start with...
I love that we can sprinkle in some of the short and sweet, like, yes. here's this stuff because...
I love it, too.
In between all the hot and heavy.
I completely like, love it.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah, and it's not, yeah. it seems like from what we've heard in response to our first episode that you guys really liked it. So I think we'll keep yeah. it on for now. Like, as long as you guys want to hear it, we're going to try to fold this in there when we
I
can.
Always love to know what people are talking about right
oh,
now.
Oh, me too. Yeah, all these current events. Like, it's a nice streamlined way, I think, to
yeah.
to bring it to you guys. Let's start with an update on what we know from the Colonial Heights debacle.
Oh,
so,
that one was a doozy.
Yeah. So again, all of this is still alleged. You know, nobody's been convicted of anything.
Correct.
Investigation is ongoing still. There are some new developments. So just as a very quick recap. So Colonial Heights is a nursing home down in Virginia. And they have a story broke late last year about reports of substandard care. That culminated in the reported death of a very dependent resident felt to be directly caused by neglect, mm-hmm. essentially. And then there were reports of staff like covering for each other, falsifying documentation, and signing off things that weren't getting done. Yep. And also the medical director was in a ton of hot water because he was charged for signing off that a patient was fit to make his own medical decisions when it had already been determined by a psychiatrist that he was not. And then he was found like wandering the streets, and it was just like a really bad, yeah. really unsafe situation. Mm-hmm. So now the new updates on Wednesday, March 26th, 13 defendants were in court for charges related to this elder abuse case. And one of those defendants did plead guilty to her charge of falsifying patient records. Another had misdemeanor.
Which is the signing off that she didn't actually perform.
Yes, that she didn't actually
was.
Perform. Yep.
yep.
And another had her misdemeanor charges dismissed. And this leaves, after everything, you know, all the charges were sort of adjusted after this and some people took plea deals. This leaves seven defendants with their hearings pushed back to later this summer.
Wow.
And
wasn't this, I feel like originally, like they had like six, they came in and arrested like 16 employees.
It was like 18 or 19.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Like
it was
a crazy
like a very
amount.
High number, which
yes.
I also thought was like.
The DON was being held without bail.
Oh.
It was like a big, it was something happened there that was huge.
Oh, wow.
So then with most of those seven that are getting pushed back to later this summer, most of those are like the real heavy.
Probably
and the ones that are in the hottest
people
water.
That were
yes,
like,
exactly.
Like, wasn't there one that was falsifying the education that
yes.
she had educated the staff?
Yep, and that was all false. Yep,
yeah.
And that's so the really big ones are yeah. getting pushed off until so it'll be really interesting to hear the outcomes of those trials.
Gives me chills.
And prosecutors also told 8 News that there is new evidence and 3 defendants that may be facing more intense felony charges really soon as well. And there were some search warrants that were filed again within the Colonial Heights Circuit Court. And they were able to pull up a bunch of text messages. Have you heard about the text messages between
Mm-mm.
staff?
No.
So,
oh, crap.
Oh, yeah. So there were a bunch of text messages between staff members that worked evenings and nights. And so it was actually between 2 licensed practical nurses that worked at Colonial Heights. One of the nurses had actually been charged with abuse of a vulnerable adult resulting in death. So this is one of the people involved that actually had charges. And then the other one that was texting had a charge initially, but then that one was actually, it was a records or documentation falsifying charge.
Okay.
But that one was dismissed. So this one is not getting, this other person is not getting charged again. So they exchanged photos of protected health information and even photos of residents, including the one at the center of the investigation that has since passed. So the one of the more disturbing things
that happens more often than you,
which
when I was a director of nursing, you know what I mean? Like, you always know your employees have like these group chats and you just like, you always try to be like, I can't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you guys want to be friends outside of here. Have your, like, that's all fine, but you cannot be doing it about work stuff.
Well, that's what.
And so to hear this, it's like, this is why, you know what I mean? It's
exactly why. Yeah. And so what's really like kind of disturbing is they were discussing how when residents are quote unquote acting up, that they would just give them Tylenol and melatonin to like try to just snow them to sleep.
Chemically
restrain them. Yeah, essentially. Yeah. And then they would like joke about not checking in on resident safety. And one nurse admitted that she left Zofran, a prescription medication, in her car for another nurse to pick up. So then it's like, wait, so you're diverting medications now?
What?
Like, she stole a Zofran from the center and put it in her car
to give to someone else.
To give to somebody else who wasn't even in the building. So that's really weird and creepy. And these text messages also said something to the effect of, oh, well, last night I wasn't feeling it. So anybody who couldn't talk didn't get shit.
Oh, come on.
Meaning that, in other words,
come on. Signing off meds that you didn't give to those that.
The nonverbal residents did not get their medicines.
The ones that couldn't complain that, hey, I didn't get my pills.
And then the other one responded, yeah, I do that sometimes. They'll be all right.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so, those directors of nursings out there, because
Devin is triggered. I'm triggered, actually, because this,
I feel your pain.
This is so disturbing.
That DON was held without bail for whatever she did, so I don't feel her pain, but.
If any of you have ever taken some care of somebody who is nonverbal.
That is not why we go into the field.
These are like the most vulnerable, like adults in their most vulnerable state.
Yes.
And we have been trusted with literally working in the homes of these people and making sure that they are cared for and clean and comfortable and have what they need. And they're being medicated like their orders state they should be. So that, to me, that was particularly disturbing. Again, how do all these terrible people end up in one place doing terrible things at once? And it blows my mind. I hate this. I'm so curious to see.
And you know, what comes again, out of this. And I said that. This happens more often than you think.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think you're right.
And
but this is the shit that gives nursing homes like a really bad, shitty reputation. Yes,
and I will constantly defend them.
Yes.
Because I love this field. Yes. But
to do it right is not easy sometimes. It's busy.
Oh, yeah,
it's hard,
for sure.
But if you have the integrity that a lot of these that a lot of our facilities that we work in have, like doing it right can really make a huge difference in these people's lives. And it just like breaks my heart that there are homes out there.
And then to blatantly admit it.
Oh yeah. Just like just chat about it in a group chat. You know, it's just like, it's wild to me. So the other piece.
These texts pissed me off.
That really pissed me off. That was awful. That was the worst. So also Dr. Abbasi, who was the medical director there, was arrested and he was charged for all, essentially, he was the medical director, so he has a hand in all of the crimes, right? So he was arrested. He did pay his bond, and he has not had any action taken on his license as of yet. But it is presumed that will come down the road once the charges
are verified. What are his charges? Do we know?
So I don't know exactly because one of them did have to do with that particular resident who had schizophrenia that he allowed him to sign out of the building.
Right.
That was more specific to him.
Okay.
And then there was also charges that were like literally just him being the medical director when all of this shit was going down. That's
correct.
His responsibility.
That's the same as being the director of nursing.
Exactly
and
right. He's
You're
the
responsible
admin of the
for
building.
Whatever goes down.
Yep. Exactly right.
Whew.
So he is still practicing medicine, by the way, right now he is. So, following an investigation, the Virginia Department of Health has now barred the facility from accepting any new residents. So they're not getting anybody new. And a newly released 340-page complaint outlined some very serious issues, including more medication errors going back years and years and years, poor infection control practices, failure to protect residents from harm. And officials say the facility is still under, like, very heavy scrutiny and heavy investigation, and that more enforcement actions might follow on the facility itself and their ability to continue caring for people. Like, they may get shut down after this. Like,
yeah.
Very real possibility.
Well, yes, they very well could be.
So.
Are they in a conservatorship or anything? Do you know?
I'm not sure about. I didn't read anything about that.
Okay.
So that might come down the road, maybe, if charges are, like, they actually follow through. Again, all of this still alleged. We don't.
Yeah. We'll see.
Know. We'll see. All right. So that's what we have that's new on that one. I know. Got Devin all fired up real early on. This was my goal. Here we go. So we now have something that we've had a lot of requests about, which is the nurse who has been accused of breaking the bones of infants in the NICU. Have you read about this?
Separate from the one that we did?
This is not Lucy Letby, but we have more on her, too.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
I hated her.
I know.
Oh, gosh. No, I have not heard this.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, trigger warning, child abuse. This case swept headlines when it broke. And
which
it
was
is
when?
So disturbing. Literally like a couple months ago. I can't believe
so
you didn't
did
hear
I maybe
this.
See this and I just thought I probably like was like, come
maybe.
On guys, it was Lucy Letby. Like she's been gone for a while. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Maybe
yeah, no,
I
this
like,
is somebody
thinking that this can't happen the, twice.
This was in the US, dude.
Oh man.
So
I'm now because now I'm recalling thinking that I saw like breaking news, whatever.
Yep. Nope.
And
this
I was
is
probably
different.
Like, wow, you guys are just getting to the party.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit.
And so all of this is alleged, super fresh. Stuff
oh,
like
gosh.
Literally within the last, so we don't have a ton on this yet, but it's worth
right.
mentioning
it's
for
probably
sure.
All around socials with all the
hugely,
who
absolutely,
knows, all the yeah,
yep,
not everything's real. Yeah.
Yep. So, nurse Erin Strautman faces multiple charges, including malicious wounding and child abuse, after authorities said she was caught on surveillance video mishandling a NICU baby. Oh. And the former NICU nurse in Virginia is accused of being responsible for bruises and fractures on babies in her care. And this all sort of culminated after an incident that occurred in November of last year at Henrico Doctors Hospital in Richmond, Virginia. The fuck is going on down in Virginia?
I don't know, Virginia.
What's
we gotta
going
talk.
On? We got to... I don't know, Virginia. Ginny. What's going on, Ginny? So a surveillance video allegedly showed Strautman applying pressure on a 5-month-old baby boy's legs to the point where his feet reached his head.
What?
Yeah. Like she folded this kid in half.
Oh.
So like babies are flexible.
Yes.
5 months old, you start to lose that a little bit more.
Right. You're not as limber.
I mean, she
like
folded this kid, this baby in half on purpose just
to see what it would do.
Yeah. Yeesh. So, there was a bond hearing. And
how many times was she caught doing this?
So she was. She finally they went. They got a surveillance video of her doing this, but there were multiple reports of babies getting injuries of unknown origins.
Okay.
Almost always broken
bones
or bruises.
So now they're probably. So they caught her on this once with
and
the
video.
And
they were like, "Aha! That's the problem right there." So. There were some text messages that came out from her phone as well. In
damn
which
text.
This fucking text will bite you in the ass, you guys. Be careful what you say. So they were released after her recent bond hearing and they revealed some interesting exchanges. So like in October of 2023, she reportedly said that she had been pacing and she felt like she took, quote, cocaine again, end quote, even though she hadn't. And she also said that she felt like she had maybe a personality disorder. She said things like, I feel manic and it takes everything in me not to start shit, end quote. So the day before she was arrested, reportedly, she texted, quote, I am 5 seconds away from checking myself into crisis, end quote. So clearly, if that's true, there's some mental health situation at play for sure. So... No excuse. I mean, a lot of us have mental health issues, but we don't
break babies.
So, Strottman's alleged abuse may go just beyond that one incident. Like I said, according to the hospital, three babies suffered unexplained fractures in just the month of November 2024. Three separate babies.
So I'm sure now they'll try to connect some stuff to previous.
Yes, and I think that's what they're working on because then in the summer of 2023, there were four other separate babies suffering similar injuries, the hospital said. And investigators with the Henrico County Police Division reviewed dozens of videos from inside the NICU and were able to point the finger at Strottman. So it was like, finally, when they started this investigation, they were seeing her do this multiple times.
Oh, man.
So detectives are continuing now to comb through all that evidence, all of that surveillance. And there's like thousands of hours of footage that they are combing through to get all of this. So they're hoping to bring justice for each and every baby who suffered some kind of abuse. So she is no longer employed at the hospital. I'm sure that actions upon her nursing license are pending the result of any trial or charges. But in the interim, her license has been suspended. So she cannot work as a nurse while this is being investigated.
Good.
So one of the babies allegedly abused in the summer of 2023 was Noah Hackey. And he suffered a broken tibia because of her actions. His father, Dominique Hackey, explained to WTVR, who is writing this article that I'm citing, that Noah and his twin Micah were born prematurely at the hospital in August 2023, and they spent time together in the NICU, which is not uncommon for babies that are preterm, especially twins.
Yeah.
And when Noah was about 2 weeks old, they noticed some discoloration on his left leg, and an X-ray revealed a fracture of the tibia, and the family filed a report with CPS, which determined that an employee must have been responsible for this. So like they did this whole thing, but nobody could figure out what employee it was at the time, because this was back in 2023. So their dad was like flabbergasted that this happened to his kid, and he's like, I can't be the only one if somebody's there like intentionally harming babies, or if this was just really poor care and somebody was being way too rough, like enough to break a tibia in a baby.
Right.
Like that is not easy.
No.
So due to the amount of children leaving the NICU with unexplained injuries, many are asking the hospital for an explanation as to why this was allowed to continue to the scale that it did. I mean, this clearly was happening for years, right?
Yeah.
And actually, there's a class action lawsuit that is pending on this whole situation, and a legal representative for a lot of these families had stated, quote, they failed strictly on multiple levels with multiple different families, and they need to be held accountable as well, because that should never have happened. They failed, simple as that, end quote. So a lot more to come on that, because again, this is very, very, very new. But
I am so baffled.
This isn't like, what are you doing?
Right.
We were talking about the most vulnerable adults in the world. Now NICU babies?
Mm-hmm.
NICU babies?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
What is wrong with you, allegedly? Jesus.
I'm starting to think we need some kind of, like, I hope this doesn't sound offensive, but I feel like we need some kind of, like, mental health screening before you can go into healthcare.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just starting to.
There are a lot of very functional people that have mental health issues.
Well, of course.
Tons.
But that's why I'm calling it a screening. to weed out a certain level. You know what I mean?
I will say that for the jobs that I've had as a provider, part of my credentialing process is you have to fill out this whole health form,
mm-hmm.
and they have to determine, do you have any health conditions that will interfere with your ability to XYZ, mm-hmm. including what's your mental health history? What diagnoses do you mm-hmm. have? Is it well controlled? What medications are you on? It is a pretty deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember having something quite that extensive with nursing.
I've never had it with nursing.
Yeah.
No.
So I feel, I mean, it's interesting though, because nurses are the ones that are at the bedside a lot more than providers.
That's right.
Arguably.
That's what I'm just like to at you're not obviously going to.
And LNAs
prevent
and
everything.
Nurses,
you're not going to prevent everything. You know what I mean?
But there's a margin there. We could do better. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I'm just pissing Devin off left and right over here.
You know, there's so much more work to be done in the mental health field,
which
we all know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's just a matter of we're people taking care of people.
Yes.
You know, and so it's like if you're not in a place where you can physically even to do that, you know, like
we need to give people the tools to like realize that within themselves mm-hmm. and not end up in this situation where you're spiraling mm-hmm. out of control mm-hmm. and feel the need to hurt.
Correct.
Babies in the NICU.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, next.
Do we have to?
I mean, this one's more interesting and not so criminal.
Okay.
So not necessarily a crime, but I wanted to quickly go over this because it's been really interesting. So have you heard about the Newton-Wellesley tumor cluster?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes, that one I have heard about.
Yes.
That's insane.
Isn't that crazy? Okay. Yes. Let's break it down. So a Boston area hospital.
It gets you thinking.
It really does.
Yes, I've heard about this.
A Boston area hospital is investigating after five nurses, initially it was five and now it's more, who worked on the same floor of the same hospital at the same time have all developed brain tumors. This is according to NBC.
I think I sent this to you.
You did.
Yes.
You did. Yeah. This is all according to NBC News. So this is Mass General Brigham and Newton-Wellesley Hospital.
It's a big deal. It's a big place.
Yeah. And then, so initially it was five. And then after this investigation started,
a few more.
It's 11 total now. So 11 employees from the fifth floor maternity unit specifically identified health concerns. And thankfully, the brain tumors are all benign.
Good.
Two of them have the most common benign type, which is a meningioma. And those are literally just a little growth on like the meninge, which is the sac that covers the cerebrospinal fluid, essentially. And they are harmless. And then lots of other benign ones that are non-life-threatening.
Good.
And it's so this hospital is located about 10 miles outside of Boston. And the hospital said they conducted an investigation and it was completed in collaboration with the government health and safety officials. And it considered multiple possible sources. It ruled out disposable masks, water supply, nearby x-rays, radiation.
Wait, disposable masks?
Yeah. You know what? Somebody out there was just like,
thinking,
it's the masks!
It's the
masks ruin everything! It's gotta be the masks!
You're right.
You never know. If there's
probably
some chemical, some carcinogenic chemical.
But
I know. In this
what?
Climate, it's funny. It's very funny.
Sorry.
So
we gotta still have humor.
Right?
But yeah, my mind first goes to radiology.
Yeah,
imaging,
absolutely.
You know.
Now, to be fair, there was an oncology unit just below that level.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, maybe the chemotherapy, there's some
chemical. I was going to say
chemical
those chemo drugs
radiation.
Are intense.
Absolutely. Yep. So all of those things were looked at as a possible cause. Now, a quote that was given by the hospital states, quote, the investigation found no environmental risks which could be linked to the development of a brain tumor. None. So.
And no other units of the hospital.
No other units of the hospital. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
So.
Because, you know,
right
they say when everyone's like pregnant together, oh, it's something in the water.
Oh, I know something's
so
in the
like,
water.
Okay, something's in the water. In
I know.
Your unit, but
it's interesting. It's interesting. So. They are also completing a separate, independent scientific investigation. So there's
like
a whole
outside company.
An outside company,
not just administrative.
Exactly.
Saying,
yep.
We didn't find anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, bullshit, you didn't. You know.
It's gonna take another several weeks to months,
yes,
probably, to really figure this out. But this is all being driven by the nurses union, because the nurses union are like, "Fuck you! We're gonna
getting harmed somehow." Like,
absolutely, which I think is great. Now the hospital only spoke to like a small number of nurses and their environmental testing was not that comprehensive is what these union reps are saying.
Okay.
And they said, quote, the hospital cannot make this issue go away by attempting to provide a premeditated conclusion to this situation. And a spokesperson for a state agency was unable to provide any conclusive information about the matter. But the federal occupational health and safety officials also didn't respond for comment at the time of this article. But to be fair, the American Cancer Society says that in order to meet the definition of a cancer cluster, occurrences must be the same type, the same area, like the cancer itself has to be the same type of cancer, the same area with the same cause that's identified and affecting a number of people that is, quote, greater than expected when a baseline occurrence is established. And they went on to say, quote, nearly 4 out of 10 people in the U.S. will develop cancer during their lifetimes. So it's not uncommon for several people in a relatively small area to develop cancer around the same time. Not that any of these were even cancerous. Right,
but even like, so there's so many benign tumors out there that can be different types. So
that may, and it may be that 1 or 2 or 3 people came forward and somebody was like, well, you know, maybe I should get checked out. And it's like an incidental finding. You know what I mean? Like, who knows if these people were even symptomatic with anything? It was just like, I'm going to go get checked out and have a brain scan because like, I want to.
Right.
And lo and behold, I have a meningioma.
Interesting.
But it's all really interesting because it's...
I wonder if that hospital offers one of those Prenuvo scans.
Oh, yeah. Because
I mean, it's a major hospital. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, yep. I bet you they probably do. You know. Yeah. Just like to check it out. Check it all out. So who knows? More to come on that, too. I want to follow it. I just think it's really an interesting topic. And so I just figured I'd toss that in there as well. All right, moving on.
Another movie. That one gave me a little break.
I know. That was the palate cleanser. Okay, you're going to be pissed again in a minute.
Fuck!
So, we're moving on to Asante Rogue Medical Center in Medford, Oregon. And
Oregon. And we haven't talked about Oregon much.
Yeah, we're moving away from Virginia. We're moving away from Ginny. Ginny needs a break. Ginny's been abused.
Sorry for those who live in Virginia.
So an investigation is being launched in Medford, Oregon, at a hospital called Asante Rogue Medical Center. And this actually started back in January 2024, so just a little over a year ago. Initial reports stated that dozens of patients were injured in relation to a medication diversion event in which a hospital nurse removed intravenous fentanyl from IV bags and replaced it with plain tap water.
Oh, not even saline, huh?
No, no. She just said, fuck that. I'm just going to get it from the sink.
Okay.
So, this was astronomically horrifying. I can't even...
Do you know how many times, even when someone's just at Joe Schmo's house and it's like, your water okay to drink? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so now we're just going to take questionable water and put it in an IV bag and call it a day.
So that's, I guess, what's most bothersome to... So first of all, the drug diversion, that happens literally everywhere. This was really bad. I am not downplaying it, but it happens literally everywhere.
It does.
Instead of using... what's at your disposal, which is probably an abundance of sterile water and normal saline.
Right.
You chose to go to the sink.
Psst, fill me up.
And just fill it with tap water just to kill your patients?
And like, she still would have had to have put it in a syringe.
Yes. Like, so I feel like this is harder.
You're not just opening the bag, filling it up. You're like.
No, like, I feel like that's harder to do. It baffles me because I'm like, you're a nurse. You know what the microbes are that live in plain tap water.
Yes.
And you're putting that into somebody's IV? Bro, what is going on? So there have been family members that have been coming forward to share their stories. A Grants Pass resident by the name of Garrett Atwood received a phone call on December 18th, and he learned that his brother, who had died about a year prior in November 2022, they had uncovered that it was allegedly caused by a central line infection that resulted after that hospital nurse replaced fentanyl with non-sterile tap water. And Wood's brother, 36-year-old combat veteran by the name of Samuel Allison, was admitted to the hospital October 14th, 2022 for liver failure. And while his condition had stabilized and his prognosis was actually really good, he re-presented with this central line infection and was transferred to Oregon Health Science University in Portland. And within days, he passed away from that terrible infection. So he went on to claim that officials informed the family members a year later that they suspect that this was all fallout from his lines being tampered with and from him receiving tap water.
Mm.
So
tap water?
Literal tap water.
My IV.
Yep. And then a Klamath Falls resident by the name of Diane Rogers said she was notified by Asante officials on July 26th of last year that the death of her husband, Sam, may have been caused by a bacterial infection after fentanyl was replaced with non-sterile tap water again. Mm-hmm. Sam was a retired transport planner for the Southern California Association of Governments and was being treated for a bed sore. His death certificate lists the cause of death as multi-organ system failure and septic shock.
I was going to say from sepsis. Yes. Yeah.
She was quoted to say, quote, "I remember thinking, how does a bed sore go so downhill so bad? And to do that in an ICU, it's like they were picking the ones who were worse off and couldn't talk," which is horrifying. "He kept looking at me and his eyes would roll back. I'd say, he's in pain. And the nurse would say, no, he isn't." He isn't. How do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then Atwood went on onto the state that hospital officials had told him that the employee was, quote, "no longer working in the medical field," and that they reported both the medical to the medical board and to the police and the nursing board. So now a class action lawsuit has been filed against the hospital. The complaint was fired by Scheslinger and De Villeneuve and is seeking $303 million on behalf of 9 surviving former patients and 9 estates of those who died allegedly under the hospital's care.
Wow.
And the lawsuit lists over a dozen examples of alleged negligence by Asante, and all of the, I mean, this was allowed to continue for years too. Evidently, there's so many people that almost died and that did die.
And again, those bags were obviously tampered with, so it's just a matter of...
Exactly. And clearly they weren't keeping really good... I mean, the thing is that they it is, with all the safeguards in place, systemically, it is still easy for nurses to steal drugs from patients, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, if you think about it, like, this patient had an order for fentanyl.
Yes.
So they're taking it out of the Pyxis. So yes. It's not like they're, you know what I mean?
No, but
so
you can still take it out from the patient.
You're signing it. Yep. But before it got to the patient,
it was in your hands.
You're in the med room by yourself.
Yep.
Doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Putting as long as you have that label scan somewhere else. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, sketchy.
It's so sketchy. So they did finally, in this lawsuit, name the nurse. Initially, the hospital did not name the nurse, but the lawsuit, we got this person's name. So former nurse Danny Marie Schofield was the one that is felt to be allegedly responsible for swapping out the patient's painkiller with tap water. And she caught 44 counts of assault charges in the second degree. And 1 count each for patients that authorities say the nurse harmed. So 16 of those former patients died. Ugh. And 18 former patients named in the latest complaint appear in that indictment. So, wow. I mean,
I mean,
44.
It's obviously people? Done pretty widely.
Yes. And this was a massive investigation, too.
And I mean, a high percentage of those cases, a high percentage of death. Like, that's just how dirty the water is that's going into your central vein.
Well, that's the thing. And it's just, this was a massive undertaking, this investigation. They probably had to review every unexpected death. What type of bacteremia did they end up having? Correct. Did it match the microbes that were potentially in tap water?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a massive amount of work.
Mm-hmm.
So Schofield is out of jail currently on a $4 million bail, and her pretrial hearing concerning the criminal charges begins next week.
Oh.
So we will have more on this hopefully very soon. She is facing a minimal sentencing of 70 months for each of the 44 cases of assault. Oh,
so
that could accumulate in a ton of years.
Wow.
Whew. So more to come on that.
How do you think you solve this? Like, I don't know. I'm just, as you're talking, I'm just like, you know, there's all the safeguards with the Pyxis, but it's like once the drug is in your hand. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That taking
unless there's like a dual sign off and you mandate that multiple nurses witness this actual drug leaving the machine and entering the patient.
Like, yeah, I'm like, what do you have? Like a mobile Pyxis door to door? You know what I mean? But then it's like, healthcare doesn't have this money.
No.
Nor does it have the staff.
No.
You know, like.
No. And people be peopling. You know, people are always going to find a way around shit.
Yeah, they'll figure out a way around that.
People
too.
Are desperate.
Oh, man.
I've seen it at hospitals I've worked at. There have been. Mm-hmm. Crazy situations. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And it happens everywhere.
Yep.
It's literally everywhere.
Yep. Yeah.
Whew.
Next. What?
We now have
Debbie Downer.
Just 4 weeks ago, this story broke out of Germany.
Oh.
German authorities have charged a Berlin palliative care doctor with the murder of 15 patients over the course of 3 years. And the public prosecutor said that a further 75 patient deaths were being investigated as suspicious. Ooh.
Okay.
Now, if convicted of these 15 deaths, excuse me, the doctor would be the most prolific serial killer in Europe since a German nurse killed at least 85 patients 2 decades ago. And that's Niels Hoegele. We're going to get to him sometime really soon this season.
This season?
This season.
Oh, I'm ready.
The doctor who was charged on Wednesday is a 40-year-old man. His name is not being released because Germany has very strict privacy laws. And they do not typically release names of defendants until after they are convicted, if they are convicted.
I think that's fair.
I actually kind of am like...
That kind of helps the whole media scrutiny of like...
It really does.
You know, we're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, mm-hmm. but then there's the whole media conviction. Exactly. You know what I mean? And yep. how your life is damaged from that.
Exactly.
So I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah, I am too.
Good job, Germany. Yeah, there's not much that Germany does right in history.
I feel like Europe is kind of like worlds ahead of us in so many different ways. Medicine, yeah. way ahead of us.
Yeah.
Now, he is accused of having killed all of these patients from 2021 to 2024 by giving them a powerful narcotic and then a muscle relaxant on top of that, and essentially sedating them before stopping their breathing.
So, but he's a palliative care doctor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to know more.
So like, this is interesting
is
because
he doing physician-assisted suicide? Like, right. What's making it suspicious?
There's,
you know,
there's
like,
so much that we don't yeah. know. And what would have been the motive? Like, if he was just doing it to kill people and to exercise that control, like, yeah. was there some kind of financial gain that he was right. getting from this? Or was this just he was performing assisted suicide?
Right.
There's so much that we don't know here. There was one case, actually, he was accused of setting fire to the patient's apartment to hide evidence. And at least one instance...
Well, you can't do that.
That's kind of a no-no.
Even if you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
There was actually, at one point, he actually called an ambulance to like mislead investigators. He actually like called.
So then he was doing something more than physician assisted suicide.
I think it was like a little bit nefarious.
See, we were giving him the benefit of the doubt. And
yeah,
then,
well, I guess fuck this guy though. Allegedly fuck this guy.
Allegedly fuck you.
Yeah. Now, under German law, the maximum sentence for murder is life in prison with the possibility of parole after 15 years. But the crimes in this case are so unusual that the public prosecutor has requested a special security custody, meaning that if the doctor is convicted, he would be kept in prison after the conclusion of the sentence for his safety and the safety of the population.
Well.
So, he is currently being held at Moabit Prison in Berlin, and he's been in jail since August of last year. But this whole story just broke like 4 weeks ago because the trial is like mm-hmm. coming up very soon. So since then, a team of investigators has found more and more and more patients. And so charges may continue to accumulate until his trial actually happens. And during the investigation, the authorities actually exhumed 12 bodies. And when they redid like autopsies and exams on these patients, that led to 5 additional charges against him. So. Even with the announcement of the criminal charges.
Story.
Oh, yeah. So everything is still ongoing. A lot of moving parts here, but something I definitely want to follow.
Shazam.
Yes. All right. So now everybody's favorite, Lucy Letby.
No.
We're going out with a bang.
No.
We are.
I don't like her.
I know. Well, hold on a second, though.
What?
Hold on a minute. Just hold on. Hold on to your butt for just 1 second. Now, Lucy Letby, as a reminder, we did a whole couple episodes on her. One episode,
it's like
two episodes?
Season 3?
Yeah.
Who?
She was a neonatal nurse who was convicted in 2023 of killing 7 babies and trying to kill 7 others. And she was accused of using... hard-to-trace methods like overfeeding the babies, injecting them with air, using insulin, lots of crazy stuff. And there were actually, like, reports, at least early on, from news outlets and such, that there were, like, witnesses that would see her tampering with things and found her kind of, like, standing over babies and shutting off alarms. And she wrote that letter. And so there was a lot that was being reported. Now, in February of 2025, this year, a panel of experts performed an independent review of the case following her conviction. and it led to their conclusion of Lucy Letby did not murder any babies.
No.
I swear to God.
No.
Do you go online at all? How do you not hear about any of this
reading.
Shit?
No, this cannot
Me
be
too.
True. This cannot be true.
Yeah.
No so, way.
Chairman Dr. Shu Li told a press conference that, quote, in all cases, death or injury were due to natural causes or just bad medical care, that he does not believe there is any evidence that there was any intent or purposeful injury there whatsoever.
Okay, so now what?
So the plan is for all of these findings to be part of Letby's next bid for appeal. And she's hoping for a new trial to, of course, based on this crazy reveal. This woman is literally serving multiple life sentences.
Yes.
So what if she's innocent?
But are we sure? There was a lot.
She's, hold on. She has already tried to file for appeals and lost two bids for appeal already during her incarceration. The lengthy medical technical press conference was organized by Letby's legal team. And they presented all of this really significant new medical evidence. It was very detailed. So Dr. Li, he's a Canadian neonatal expert. And he said there were many alternative explanations for each and every conviction for murder or attempted murder. Multiple.
Really?
Yes, really.
Really?
He said he became involved in the case after learning that an academic paper he co-authored on air embolism, one of the methods Letby was said to have used to attack the babies,
yeah,
had formed part of the prosecution case in her trial. So he kind of got into the case because his paper was used as evidence. Now, Dr. Li says the 14 experts, including medical professionals from Canada, the US, Japan, Germany, Sweden, the UK, all of these people who have no skin in the game whatsoever other than finding the truth, they had looked at 17 cases at the heart of Letby's prosecution and had compiled a, quote, impartial evidence-based report. The report presented at the conference was a summary of all their findings. It was like hours and hours and hours long. I'm not going to rehash all of it.
I am baffled.
But essentially, they go through literally every single case. Every single
one. And no one else could think of this at the time?
I mean, I think they did. It's just, I mean, people have different opinions, too, but by these people's standards, they're like, there's many different explanations for what happened to these babies. Many. Like, they are chalking it up to bad medical care. Dr. Li was quoted to have said, quote, we did not find any murders. In all cases, death or injury were due to natural causes or bad medical care.
My mind is blown.
I know. He stated, quote, Lucy was charged with 7 murders and 7 attempted murders. In our opinion, the medical evidence does not support murder in any of these babies.
What?
Any.
So what now?
Now she's going to use this report to bid for a third appeal. And she wants a new trial, understandably. So that is her goal.
Knowing this, I'm going to have to go back, everyone.
I know.
Let's all go back.
Let's all go back.
And re-listen to the episode.
Let's. And there's also a...
Because I want to put it all together to see what they're, like, how. Because I forget what we had witnesses to some stuff, didn't we?
Did.
We had, like...
We did. But so... a lot of what we had at the time, the trial was just beginning. We did not have... When we recorded that episode, we had news media outlet stuff. We had some investigative stuff. We did not have court records.
Court documents.
And
baffled.
So news outlets do sometimes get things wrong.
No kidding.
A lot.
Hello.
So, I mean, it's possible.
Podcasters sometimes get things wrong.
I'm raising my hand right here. Sometimes we do. So I'm playing devil's advocate.
We're
because
being cautious here.
Yes, we are. We are. There are podcasts out there, too, that do deep dives. That followed day by day by day every single aspect of the trial. And
all right. So as this comes out, We might, you know, we've been doing a couple redos here and there. Mm-hmm. We might, but I don't want to hear those things again.
I don't really want to rehash
that. I want to wait for
the outcome of this. Right. I want to see what happens during her appeal. I want to know more about the evidence.
She's denied a new trial, we're not going to hear anything.
Then we're not going to hear anything.
We're not going to.
Exactly. So I want to know what comes from this.
Oh,
maybe
we'll
do it better. We'll do a redo with the court documents, an objective presentation of everything that happened that's less biased than the news outlets, and
a conclusion. Sometimes when we can retract a little bit.
Oh yeah, me too.
Because sometimes, you know, we're just Joe Schmoes in a basement, so sometimes we get very emotional.
Right.
We were not in the basement that time. I remember being ill. I remember sitting on my living room floor recording this remotely.
Yes.
I'm baffled.
Yes, ma'am.
Wild, watch, right? we're gonna watch the numbers from our Lucy Letby show just go.
I know, right? Jesus.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to think about that. My mind is a little
It's wild, right?
So I need to pay more attention to the news.
That's the conclusion that we're drawing at the end of this.
But I don't want to.
Okay.
Because the news is sad.
The news is sad and scary. We don't like the news. As
all right,
a general
thanks
rule.
For listening, everybody. Thanks for hanging out at our highlights part two.
Yeah, buddy.
If you want to check us out, you can find us on Facebook at Med Crimes Podcast.
You can find us on YouTube by searching Med Crimes Podcast.
Instagram at Med Crimes Podcast.
If you want to join our Patreons and maybe get your own critter or creature. It's fun.
I have a creature for the next time.
You do?
My kids watched Free Willy.
An orca.
Do you want to be an orca?
Do you want to be an orca?
Killing machines.
You can join us at www.patreon.com/medcrimespodcast. Also, we have merch at medcrimespodshop.org.
Merch!
I'm working on a design for the Shit Your Tits t-shirt,
because
which has been requested
heavily.
Because that was
widely popular.
Very popular. Mm. Don't worry. My promise. I will live up to my promise. We'll get one.
You can send us your crazy stories, ideas, any suggestions for future topics, or any information that you want shared on season 4's episode of Break Room Banter at medcrimes@gmail.com.
We're getting a few submissions. I'd like some more. Keep them coming, babies.
Whoop, whoop. We're 6 months away from
end
of season 4 for Break Room Banter.
Buddy.
So
that's been our routine. I think we should keep it. I like that.
Right,
I like
before
that
break.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Peace.
Bye-bye.